dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama.
Pew, pew, pew,
pew. Truant News Radio, listen to us on Truant News Radio.
Welcome to Truant News Radio. It's your weekly dose of gumption and positivity, for whatever that means. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Truant and Brock Murphy, probably the two coolest guys in the world, at least in their minds. Let it rip, fellas.
Hello to the Truant News Radio listening world.
Yes, hello, hello. Hello to everybody. Yeah. It's a beautiful morning here in the Magic City.
It's shaping up to be a great day. I can't wait for it.
I'm about ready to get past the breeze. We've had a lot of wind here lately.
Yeah.
Kind of chilly, kind of breezy. I want to say real quick hello to my friend Robin. She's heading to Oak Mountain, Tony, for the Mammoth. Oh, what's it called? The Mammoth Run, the Mammoth something.
Hike.
It's over at Oak Mountain.
Ruck.
Yeah, I ought to know what it is, for heaven's sakes. I just looked it up. But anyway, it's a deal where...
He's doing it.
Well, it's a deal where you got to go 20 miles in 8 hours. 20 miles of hiking in 8 hours. In fact, she even texted this morning. She said, quote, I like hiking. And she's like, okay, well, then you and your other stupid friends can pay us $100 and go do 20 miles in 8 hours or something like that. So good luck to Robin and the rest of the gang over at Oak Mountain for the Mammoth, what's it called? The Mammoth March.
There you go.
The Mammoth March.
Yeah, I have a name that rhymes, or that is, what is that, alliteration?
Yeah, that's alliteration, yeah. The Mammoth March, yeah.
Nice, I like it. I wanted to say, and I did a terrible job, I should have gotten his name, but I ordered a pizza last night at the Donato's there in Vestavia, and the guy said he's a listener, and I should have gotten his name, but thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We appreciate everybody listening to us.
You said something like he answered the phone to take your order. You said it's Tony Truant, and he said, is this Tony Truant of Truant News Radio, right?
I was like, you're dang right, is.
Well, I would have said, who wants to know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but then then it would have been obvious. The answer was the guy you called.
I made my day, man. I was thrilled with that. And that was after the prom. Vince went, we had Vince's prom last
looking
night.
Looking suave and debonair.
Yeah. Oh, man, he was looking sharp. It's John Carroll's prom was at the Grand Bohemian, which, again, they have a great hotel over there. You know, Mark Kessler's been on with us before.
Yeah, for sure.
Love that hotel. Love the artwork in it. But they're... You know, they have the big meeting center room, whatever you call it. But they, instead of just having like your typical hotel, you know, conference room area, they have chandeliers all over it, which makes it look totally cooler.
Oh, for sure.
I didn't even know who this man is.
Mike Kerb.
I can't wait to see this. Mike Kerb. Zach is transferring to Belmont up in Nashville next year.
Yeah.
And so I've been following some of the stuff, but they had an announcement this week that there's already a Mike Kerb, like, school of whatever, a building up there named for him. So that's pretty cool. You know, he's going to be a successful somebody. But then...
they're adding 75 million square feet.
Well, 75,000. Million would be excessive.
Oh, well, you actually had 75 million in our note.
Well, I think I got it mixed up because I was still stunned that they said he made another generous gift.
Yeah.
And that generous gift turned out to be $58 million towards a 75,000 square foot.
There we go.
You know, new building that they're doing. And I was like, man, who is this guy, Mike Kerb? So I look him up, and maybe everybody does know who he is, but I didn't.
I had never heard of him.
I need a better resume.
For sure.
I mean, when these are the people that make you feel incredibly insignificant. This man has done everything. He was the governor of California, just as a side note.
After Ronald Reagan.
He's got the largest independent record label still owned, I guess it's the largest record label still owned by its original founder.
The largest independent record company.
Yeah, 300 number one hits. I mean, just on and on and on what this man's done. And
side note, he was the producer for You Light Up My Life, right? The Debbie Boone, Pat Boone thing, which as a trivia thing, was the first one to ever debut number one on three different lists.
Man, we're talking about, I was a kid, I remember You Light Up My Life. I hated that song, but it was everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just everywhere as a kid. And then he also somehow was the producer on, what was the other one I said? There was Leanne Rimes and Trisha Yearwood. They both.
How do I live without you?
Apparently there's just an endless list of songs he's associated with, but it's just incredible background. We can't, no way to list all
you
of it, but on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he's in the Stock Car Hall of Fame somehow.
Yeah,
I didn't know
his
name.
I
don't even know. I mean, there's all these little things just thrown in.
Just
incredible.
Ancillary.
Mike
You're
Kerb,
so cool.
Look him up. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. But
Brock,
anyway.
Hey, we didn't say who we are. I'm Tony Truant, Truant Insurance and Bonding. If we can help you with any of your insurance needs, business coverage, we do a ton of business or work with business owners, home and auto insurance, and then all the bond stuff. And, man, we had a week on the bond front.
Oh.
Got a couple of bonds out, or three or four, actually, but down in South Alabama, several of them. We had a bid up in North Alabama. We're all over the board, but landed a few of those jobs. So good construction market still going strong from what I'm seeing. That's great for everybody. As long as we're building, everybody's in good shape.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out. If you're building, represent a lot of commercial subcontractors, a couple of general contractors out there. Matt Shelby was on with Shelby Company. Represent them. But yeah, I'd love to help you out. If you're a small company, anything that I can do, whether it's help you get formed, sell part of it, buy part of it, buy all of it, or just handle transactional things, or if you get in a dispute, something like that. Hey, Tony, after last week's show, you and I got together and went down to Maxwell Air Force Base.
Man, it was great. You were kind enough to invite me along and went down. I'd never been to an air show before, but went down and got to see the Blue Angels.
The Blues.
And, what was the guy, Rob Holland, who was I thought that was
crazy.
The coolest thing I've ever seen. He does aerial acrobatics, I think is what they called it. And
yeah.
I don't even understand how this works. He took his plane like straight up, like you're going up a ladder, like straight up, and then I guess you get to the top and you stall or you do whatever.
Yeah.
And so he starts kind of climbing back down the ladder, which was cool. But then I don't know how you do this. Then he went sideways in a plane. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. He was nuts, throwing himself all about the sky. But the Blues, they didn't disappoint.
Oh, they were fantastic. Very, very cool.
And it was right in front of us.
Man, I was in, we were, second row? And what a great event, by the way. Just the whole thing. Had a big, big crowd out there. I didn't know that many people went to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if in my mind I thought we were going to have like 30 people.
Oh, but
I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people out there.
That's a fact.
Maxwell Air Force Base, by the way, you said your dad spent some time there?
Yeah. He first went there, attended the Air War College, then turned around and instructed at part of it, if I'm not mistaken. But that was at the end of the 70s. At that time, the Air Force was divided into three main parts. There was Strategic Air Command, SAC. There was Tactical Air Command, TAC. And then there was Military Airlift Command. So Maxwell was home not only to the Air University, but also was MAC headquarters. It was headquarters for the Military Airlift Command.
Well, man, it was a cool place. But, I mean, you're out there, and it was funny. I guess that was the same week of the eclipse, or close, somewhere near there, where they told you, do not look at the sun, do not look at the sun. And all we did was look
at the sun. Yeah.
And I misjudged it, man. Like,
yeah.
In hindsight, I needed some sunscreen, you know, it turns out I got cooked out there, but it was so bright. Everything there is either concrete or you're staring at the sun.
Right.
And, I mean, there's sun coming at you from every angle
Absolutely.
Of that place, but, it was great. And, just to throw in on the eclipse, I didn't really go look at it, but, you know, they kept telling you, Dave, you can't look at it, you'll burn your retinas out and all
right.
that. And I was thinking about it. I was like, they've had eclipses over time. I mean, you never saw in the history books an entire civilization went blind at one time, and you know they were looking at it.
Yeah, for sure,
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe that was misguided.
I don't know, but they didn't have a couple of days later the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, as the case might be, flying all around the sun, making you look right directly at it. So.
And they had the Golden Knights, you know, the parachute.
Oh, they were fantastic.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
And, man, you also wanted to shout out Super Chicks.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Veal Zavari and Perla Chavez and Arnold Soni and Neil Soni, that whole crew, they have Super Chicks out there at Stadium Trace, and they just unwrapped. They just took the bow off of Super Chicks down on 280, went down for friends and family. You were headed down there.
I was coming, and then you said, man, it is such a zoo. So many people are down here. There's like 100 people outside the store.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, legit, there must have been 200 people in there. And, you know, friends and family is intended to kind of allow that kitchen crew and the staff to sort of do a slow roll into what it's going to be like to actually have people. Well, the good news for them is it'll never be as bad as it was for friends and family.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the line. The whole metro area was there. But I was so excited, though, for Perla and for Zeal and for Arnold and Neil and the entire team. George was down there as well. You know, what a great opportunity for them to spread this new brand. I actually met Kyle, who is part of the Super Chicks brand. They're out of Utah. Tony didn't know this.
Didn't know that.
And I also didn't know that they're essentially related to Five Guys. And so I was talking to Kyle, and his indication to me was that the desire, if they're able to pull it off, is to make Super Chicks essentially the Five Guys of chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, well, it's a great place. They do a good job with it for sure. I mean, I was in a in a continuing ed class for a few days this
week.
For
insurance.
Yeah, for 16 hours of nothing but insurance talk. And
jealous.
That was a little bit much. But it did put me within striking distance of Mr. Pease.
Oh, there you go.
So I got over there, saw Chris Pilateria, the Stallion.
Oh.
Got one of the best sandwiches I've had in a while, man. I forget how great their sandwiches
are. Good.
And so anybody out there, man, go to Mr. P's over in Bluff Park.
Yeah.
And see Chris and them. Great. That really is truly, I think, one of the best places in town as far as a local treasure. Like you said, it's a good spot.
And then when you leave right next door, that Bluff Park Creamery, it's a treasure.
Yeah,
they make their own flavors. They've gone out and won awards, for heaven's sakes.
It's all good. And then last night, man, I love this place, Char Bar, you know, for the prom. We ended up meeting up with Chris and Jennifer Walker before we went to see the lead out thing. So I love Char Bar, man.
Yeah.
And that whole development, that blows my mind every time.
Yeah.
That has been such a great addition, that Lane Park.
You didn't believe in it.
It wasn't that I didn't believe in it. I don't understand it. I'm not smart enough. Like, you know, that old shopping center and the apartments that were there, those things had to be paid for 50 years or more, and it's nothing but a big check coming in. So my point was just, why would you want the headache of having to, you know, go through all the approvals and neighborhood meetings and all that to build what they did?
Yeah.
I'm thrilled they did, because it's fabulous. That whole development is just first class, and so glad they did it. But, you know, all the restaurants that are over there, that Lady Bird Tacos, my brother went to Little Betty this past week.
Is that right?
And,
yeah.
Said it was fantastic.
Now, what's that? I don't know what that
is. It's a steakhouse, I think, from Atlanta.
It just opened
not too long ago. It's been one of the latest entries over there. But,
need to try that out.
Man, it's supposed to be really good. Everything was just slammed last night, so good for them.
I've got some really interesting news for you. You ready for this?
Hit me.
Yeah, Puxtatani Phil, does that
ring a bell?
So that's the groundhog that comes out of the ground and tells us whether we're in for more spring or lesser spring, right? Puxtatani Phil is a daddy.
How about that?
Yeah.
We got a new generation.
Yeah, that's right. The inner circle, they're the ones who administer the annual spring prediction. They announced that Phil and Phyllis, that's his wife, they've started a family, two babies.
His lady friend.
But the article didn't go into whether they were boys, girls. We don't know. But in any event, two babies to Phil and Phyllis. Congratulations to the new parents.
Man, let's quickly get into the news. We're dragging here. So here's something cool, Brock. They're working on the historic Martin Theater in Panama City.
That is cool.
It got damaged back in Hurricane Michael back in 2018. But it's a $10 to $20 million project. So that's a pretty wide variance. But 450 seats. I love all of these old buildings, particularly theaters, and that people are, you know, not discarding.
Oh, for sure.
And working to keep as part of their town. They look great.
Yeah, they've done that with the Sanger Theater in Pensacola, and it looks just fantastic what they've done there.
Really are good. I was going to say, Sanford is looking to add a director of marketing and fan engagement and a director of broadcast to their athletic department team. So they're quickly, you know, crafting one of the best kind of mid-major athletic departments in the country over there. So if you're looking for a job, and that would be a really fun thing to do, too.
Yeah,
they're on a tear.
Sanford's got some momentum behind them right now.
They do.
Now.
They really do.
I got to tell you, you mentioned the big difference between the $10 and $20 million, right, for the theater there in Panama City. That is actually one of the reasons that there's been a change in the construction manager for the on-campus stadium for USF down in Tampa, right? It's going to be a $340 million project-ish, right? But that was the point. They had gone from design build to a construction manager at risk model. Now, the difference between the two is basically the latter has a guaranteed maximum price, a GMP. So, you know, if it goes over that, that's on the construction manager, whereas in design build, the owner's due to pay the additional amount. Well, the original construction manager bowed out in December, decided that's not what we signed on for. So they did a competitive rebid, chose Manhattan Construction Company, who's out of Tulsa, though they're called Manhattan, and then the H.J. Russell Company and Ducon. They're going to together manage this as a team, and as a team, or at least individually, they've been responsible for, you ever heard of the Cowboys AT&T Stadium, Tony?
Yeah.
They did that. They did the stadiums at Texas A&M, and I can account for the good job they did at Texas Tech. They did their stadium. Ongoing renovations at Florida State, if you've ever heard of them. Manhattan CC, they actually managed the enhancement of the local nearby Buccaneers Stadium that occurred back in 2016.
Well, you know, we've talked about the South Florida Stadium before when they were just trying to get it. great looking. I love how everybody's trying to get these things, you know, in their cities or universities. And did you see the Northwestern, you know, they're demolishing Ryan Field. We talked about that. But did you see where they picked or what they're going to do? They're going to like a, I think, I don't know if it's on campus. I think it is. But they have a, like, I guess like a practice field that is right on the lake.
Oh,
and so
wow.
for the next 2 years, they're going to play in this tiny I mean, literally, you're sitting on the lake, like looking out at the lake. There's not a side on the other side of the field.
Right.
It is the lake.
Like the fields used to be at Alabama and Auburn, right? Yeah. Or literally just a field.
I mean, it's amazing. They're gonna wrap it in bleachers.
Yeah.
And, it'll be, I guess, one of the smallest venues in college football. But, man, it's going to be fantastic for that 2 years. And I wouldn't mind riding up there and seeing a game.
Until you get to Lake Effect.
Yeah, until you get to late the season and nobody wants to go.
Right.
Man, we were just sitting here talking about the Bend up in Chattanooga. They broke ground on that. We've been trying to get those folks to come on and tell us about it since we're so close, and you know, a lot of people go to Chattanooga all the time, but this is like truly a transformational project up there.
No, it's it's a $1 billion project.
How many acres? 180
well,
acres?
Well, actually, it's 300 as you get to looking at it.
And
matter of fact,
this is right on the river. And
he said that they said it's Urban Story Ventures, and the president, as he was talking about, I think they got authorization to do essentially phase one of this. And he was indicating that the project, which will ultimately be over 300 acres, will add 28 city blocks to downtown Chattanooga. I mean, that is...
Well, and it's going from like an industrial site, from what I understand, to mixed-use, current, modern...
Correct.
It's going to be awesome.
All along the lake, all along the river, which we've always laughed, you know, how many communities have had this amazing resource, and it's as if they had no idea that it was there. I mean, even with Chattanooga, prior to them doing the aquarium, apparently they didn't do much to take advantage of that. I go back to Tuscaloosa, and for the longest time, my question was, do y'all realize there's a river going right through here? They finally have taken advantage of that, and certainly Chattanooga
Bend project. Gadsden right now, they're working to do the same thing.
For sure.
Kind of reroute, what is that, 431?
Yeah.
That'll be an undertaking.
Absolutely.
I bet the payoff is fantastic.
Revolutionary,
when they get it.
Absolutely.
So a little bit of pain to get to the good stuff. Hey, congrats to Hank Reeder. He was just named the SGA president at the University of South Alabama, so good for him.
Absolutely. I was about to say the word game change, and that reminds me. I'm on the board now of Alabama Game Changers.
Yeah,
and
great organization.
Just undergone a new executive director. Karen Belcher has moved on to an adoption clinic where she's going to do just amazing work there. But want to remind folks that we've got Taylor Hicks coming up April 19th at the Wright Center there at Samford as a fundraiser.
We went to that last year and was amazing, and I'm planning to go this year.
Yep.
He puts on a great show. He's also going to be at a June Jam coming up this summer.
Brought that back.
That's going to be good. So a lot of good stuff going on, man. Let's go to the Truett Insurance and Bonding Hotline right now, though, and talk with Skip. Skip, are you with us?
Skip Poe, Alabama Road Builders Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony and Brock. Thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What you got going on this morning? I know y'all are in the middle of, is it Work Zone Awareness Week? Did I say that right?
Yes, other than leaving off national, but
national.
It's both here in Alabama and nationally, so we're just participating in part of it. It technically kicks off Monday, but we got a little early kickoff on Tuesday this week with a, we call it the Capitol Kickoff, where we have a big press conference at the state capitol and have speakers from ALEA and ALDOT and state legislature as well as the industry come in and start speaking. A lot of folks wonder, so we mentioned what is National Work Zone Awareness Week. It's a annual spring campaign. This is entering year 25, but it's held at the start of the construction season to encourage safe driving through highway work zones.
Which is incredibly important, by the way, to interrupt.
Say, that's not a throwaway concept.
Man, it's, those guys do a great job, and I know it gets frustrating, you know, sometimes driving through work zones, but please, everybody, pay attention, because, you know, accidents happen more often than they should, and half the time it is, you know, people either, one, trying to get somewhere too fast and not paying attention, or
texting
and doing different things.
And you just open the door. The key message every year is that drivers use extra caution in work zones. And there's always a theme each year. Now, this year's is work zones are temporary. Actions behind the wheel can last forever.
Ooh.
Of course, when you have some program like that, there's always a theme poster. And this year, it's basically you can see out of the windshield of the car, you can see a work zone. But you're looking basically at the steering wheel and the speedometer. And, of course, it's too fast. and you're looking at a driver with a cell phone in his hand. And so that's just a key point right there, is that distracted driving so many times is that most drivers that are most accidents and crashes and fatalities in work zones is a 4-to-1. It's the driver and the passenger than it is the worker. You know, the worker to us is very important, but drivers get distracted. They're driving too fast. They can't handle their actions in a work zone, and it winds up costing them or their passenger their lives. So it's a message that we try to get out each year, that roughly pay attention to the work zone, because you don't – workers know what's about to happen. Drivers, you don't know what you're about to – come up upon. You got to be paying attention.
I was driving yesterday and saw, actually it was a Maserati, and it came around a little bit of a corner, and clearly the person was on their phone texting, and they gave themselves a road rash to their Maserati. You know, it hit the curb and kind of bounced off of it. And to your point, in this case, that person has a really aggravating case of tire rash to their nice Maserati car. But if that was a work zone, the consequences are much more grave.
Absolutely. And this fits right into, you know, last year, Senator Jeb Wagner here in the Birmingham area got a law passed for hands-free driving. There were some provisions that were left out of that bill last year, and he has come back this year trying to strengthen those requirements on there to get the phone out of your hand and what the consequences are if you do. And so that fits right into the standpoint of, if that gets passed, and even now what's out there, I mean, we can drive down the interstate and you can pass somebody in the right-hand lane, which they're not supposed to be in the left-hand unless they're passing someone to begin with, but you pass them in the wrong lane and you look over and what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're sitting there with their phone in their hand trying to read a text message,
right,
trying to send something, read the newspaper, play
watch a movie,
whatever it is, and they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're not paying attention to the roadway.
Well, yeah. Man, we need to get on. This is, I'm half kidding, half not on this. I've said it before. Like the other day, and there is, and deservedly so, you know, the big push on texting and all. But, I mean, honest to God, there's like one out of every four cars driving in the road, there's a dog running around in the car, and nobody ever says anything about that. I was at a stoplight the other day, and this guy literally had a German Shepherd leaning across him with his head out the window in the driver's seat, and nobody ever mentions that.
Right.
I mean, what is with that?
Absolutely.
Skip, I'm putting you in charge of that. Get
yeah,
on
that's
it.
Right. That goes back to driver responsibility for sure, driver distraction.
I'll add that to my to-do list.
Yeah, please, please. Yeah, aren't you glad you called in?
Yeah, no teacup
yeah.
poodles in the lab. That's just as bad as texting.
Yeah. Well, man, that's great. What else has the road builders got going on? Y'all always stay busy, and, I mean, seriously, it's just critical to infrastructure in the state and getting around. I know, are y'all in any way involved, like, in the big bridge in Mobile? Does that fall under kind of anybody's purview, or what happens with that?
So our members span across the state and outside our borders as well. So we roughly what's going on there, because you probably heard about the pause in the work.
Yeah,
on the main span. We've got members that, well, the main span bridge contractor, that joint venture is one of our members, as well as all the subcontractors. So we do all work across the state, whether it's what's going to go on the West Alabama Highway, what's now going on across the state, whether it's a project out on 565 or I-20. Our membership is roughly probably around 160 right now. We're in a huge growth spurt over the last 14, 15 months. We've added 47 members. We've got a lot of excitement going on.
I was going to congratulate you. I see your updates all the time. And since you've kind of, I guess, taken over the leadership, man, there has been a ton of growth. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. We've just got a lot of momentum, and it's real easy once you get this, like a snowball going down the mountain. You know, we're roughly in the avalanche mode right now, trying to gather up members. So we've gotten contractors, subcontractors, material vendors, equipment dealers, engineers, bankers, accountants. I think we've added everything this year except for a bond and insurance company.
Yep,
and
I knew it was
oh, okay. So you need us. You need us on board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, do y'all know two of those guys? Maybe we can try and get those as well.
So. We know somebody. Yeah.
Yes. Somebody good, by the way.
And by the way, not that we want to go into individual projects, but it is very interesting, the one about the Mobile Bridge, and I did see that pause, and it has to do with really the ALDOT trying to find some cost savings, right?
Holy cow, man, that thing is, I mean, every project has ballooned that's sitting out there, but did you see that thing's up to like $3.5 billion now?
Yeah, well, supply chain stuff, I mean, it's all very interesting, and of course, risk, that's going to go into, well, that's what went into the change in that USF stadium that we talked about. about was placing the risk of basically supply chain increases. And so, yeah, that's all very interesting. And I mean, Skip, as we take that and go back then to your membership, I mean, I've got to think that when something like that happens to one member, you know, that's chewed on and folks are trying to figure out within that industry, how do we respond to things like that, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I was on that team years ago when it got canceled back in 2019, and so we had discussions about what the costs were going to be, what your scope was going to be, trying to build something that would last, would be a nice visual on the Mobile skyline, at the same point be functional. And so when it got canceled, now we have COVID and then everything. I mean, let's just look at it. A 12-pack of drinks was $3 prior to COVID. Yeah. Now it's like $6.50. You're like, I mean, this is the life we live in. Inflation has just really hurt our pocketbooks over the last few years. And it's at the standpoint with Mobile. I mean, the costs are so much now. It's like, when do you say enough is enough? And then, okay, what can the pocketbook afford as well as what's going to be something we want for the next 75, 100 years?
Yeah.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio. We're on the air right now with Skip Poe with the Alabama Road Builders Association, the director. And Skip, you know, as all the folks who are listening out there, maybe there are some folks who could be potential members, whether it's an auxiliary member or somebody who doesn't necessarily.
So much.
Yeah. If someone's interested in at least talking to you about becoming a member, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we've got some information on our website, www.alrba.org. As well as just roughly, you can email me at skip@alrba.org, and then we're roughly can have more conversation. We've got primarily just your road and bridge contractors and anything along the line that supports that, like guardrail and signs, all that comes into our membership. And then we roughly get into all the different types of associates that I've said earlier. It's material vendors, equipment dealers, engineers, bankers. We already have some bond insurance companies, but we could always use more. But it's amazing that construction lawyers, accountants, I mean, in the world we live in, it's all about relationships. And so if you don't have a relationship with someone, then roughly are you likely to use them? And the association provides those opportunities to roughly network and grow a relationship, and then at the time you need them, then they're there.
Yeah. Hey, man, kind of quickly, that West Alabama project that you mentioned, that's really interesting to me. I mean, that hopefully is going to open up an area of the state to more development. You know, all these things you got to have access to really, you know, to get an economic development project to sort of look, relocate in that. How's that coming along?
It's in the design process now. So, Brassel and Gorey, a contractor here in town, is roughly the prime contractor on that effort. And so they're in the design phase now. And once that gets to a standpoint where they're, and that project's going to be broken into phases. So as phases get ready, then roughly they'll, with that being design build, they'll negotiate the cost for each segment, and then roughly construction will begin.
Okay. Are there any other big projects out there that maybe are coming up or even in a discussion phase that you can think of that or that you could share that really would have an impact, like a big impact?
Oh, there's several rebuild projects going on right now. Roughly, they just let the State Route 52 project down in Geneva. That's going to extend four lane, come out of Dothan to open up opportunities in a rural area in Geneva County to get improved traffic coming to Dothan. Be shocked how many people use that route. Panhandle far from the beach.
Sure.
The Birmingham North Belt Line, the section there between 75 and 79 that was graded out when I was still working for ALDOT about 8 years ago, is that paving contract let at the end of March, so it should be starting work in the next month and a half. ALDOT still wants to do some more widening on 565. The big project there, widening 59 from 459 there in Trustville, it should be coming up to bid in the next couple of months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
There are three big projects coming on 65 in Shelby County starting later this year to extend the work that was completed back in 2019 from there at Alabaster, where Walmart is, going south all the way to Calera at exit 231.
Oh, wow.
That'll be three different projects. So there's a lot of different things coming that contractors be on the road in prime areas to roughly improve situations. And with what the legislature's passed on the game plan to bring more industry in, it's important that roughly we be building to fit those areas where they can roughly bring industries in and then open up the doors for economic growth. And at that point, get people working. And that's the package they're working now, workforce development. If we can turn around, bring industry in, get people working, then we have we need to be building infrastructure to support those efforts.
Well, and you all are foundational infrastructure, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, really, that road system is infrastructure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and it's in the day we've got roads that already need to be widened roughly. So you always look at that logic. If you build it, they will come. Going
right.
Back to Field of Dreams, and that's what we need to have. We need to have a Field of Dreams, and if we roughly want to bring more industry in, then roughly we've got to have the road and bridge structure to support and move traffic. Otherwise, we turn into Atlanta or Nashville.
Yeah, Skip, we're about to have to run, but real quick, if people are, you know, we talk about all the time, I mean, how important all the construction companies are, but if people want to get involved, you know, do y'all have any kind of effort to attract people to the industry, or where do y'all stand on that front?
You know, getting involved and starting a company is always one of those risks. It's a huge challenge. We don't necessarily that's a harder challenge to aid someone. That's more of something you got to focus on. There are business niches out there where there's always a need for companies to do, and it really comes back into your expertise. But roughly, once you're in the industry, you're all in. We provide a network of various contractors and support companies out there that roughly you can get involved and get to know with, and then build a relationship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as everybody starts, a lot of times you start as a subcontractor, you build a relationship, you grow your company, and then you grow into a prime.
Okay. Well, fantastic, man. We're about to run, but anything you want to say to close?
Let's go back to National Work Zone Awareness Week. We've got events all over the state where it's in Mobile. We've got two press conferences. One is a national press conference on Monday afternoons. It's the inaugural of that effort to emphasize struck by incidents, and those are so critical because that's how our workers get killed. They get struck by someone. We lost two last year, and there is a move over act already in place, but Representative Brett Marcus and Senator Gerald Allen are strengthening that law this year to account for construction and road workers, to roughly put an emphasis out there. Move over when you approach situations, yeah, like a wrecker on the side of the road, a first responder, or now construction maintenance workers or survey workers. But give them space. And if you can't give them space, slow down. So we just emphasize enough and using other events. We've got an interview with Midday Mobile on Tuesday. We've got a press conference here in Birmingham on Wednesday morning at Dunn Construction up on Highway 79.
Yeah.
Each day has a different event. So just be looking on your social media, Facebook, LinkedIn. We'll get messages out there to continue to hammer home. This is the time of year we're going to increase our construction. Please pay attention, because more than likely a driver is going to be affected more so than a worker. But our workers are our families, and it's just hard when you lose a worker to have to go to
yeah.
their family.
And there's no need for it at all.
They're not coming home. Yeah,
yeah.
No, absolutely.
Well, hey, man, you're doing a great job. The Alabama Road Builders Association is a fantastic organization. And, man, keep up the great work, and good luck with everything, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank y'all. Appreciate us having on, and I look forward to more discussion with y'all.
All right, take care.
Yeah, that's Skip Poe, the director of the Alabama Road Builders Association. And with respect to that work zone, just really one word, right? Focus.
Yeah, just keep your head up and, you know, give those guys some space and be aware, because sometimes, I mean, there are, you know, you have to be up right next to the
oh, for sure.
other lane that they're working on. So anyhow, man, let's move on. Great job by show alum Hannah Adams. I don't know if you saw this, Frog,
sure,
but
yeah.
What was she, Miss Mobile Bay?
Miss Mobile Bay,
right? 2024.
Yeah.
She was selected as the University of Alabama's most outstanding junior. That's
yeah.
a big deal,
ooh,
man.
That
great
is a
for
big
her.
Deal.
She does a lot of stuff, and proud of her for it.
Yeah, and she was just as sharp as they come, too. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, before she was Miss Mobile Bay, she was Miss Alabama.
Yeah.
Miss University of Alabama.
Let's see here. Fall registration is open at Marion Military Institute. If anybody's looking for a place to go, they do a great job down there, so keep that in mind.
Tony, I saw an article headline that caught my attention. Have you ever heard of Russ Cook? Russ Cook?
Who is Russ
He's
Cook?
He's a Brit. And he calls himself, or at least they call him, the hardest geezer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the hardest geezer just ran the length of Africa. That's 16,000 K to
yeah.
you and me. He started out in some point way south in South Africa, ran all the way up to Tunisia, and it took him about a year. And during the course of doing that, he had some hardships. There was exposure to the elements. He was robbed at one point along the way. He got lost in a jungle along the way. But ultimately, he did the whole thing to raise money for charity, and he raised raised about $600,000. So well done to Russ Cook, the hardest geezer.
Absolutely. Southern Living had their most legendary dive bars list that came out. And yeah. I love this. We were well represented. My favorite, the garage over here.
There we go.
On Southside, which
love
is
it.
Awesome, by
oh,
the way.
For sure.
But I loved their answer when they were asked about being on the greatest dive bar art list. They're like, well, we really go to the Nick down the street. Now, that is a great
That's the dive bar.
And I thought that was hysterical. But, yeah, the garage made it. AJ's down in Greaton Beach, Floribama, Pirates Cove in Alberta, the Red Bar, which a ton of us have gone to over the years in Greaton Beach.
Yeah, for sure.
Callahan Social Club in Mobile, which is, they're always on the best burger list and all that. So that's a good one.
My favorite was Harry's Banana Farm in Lake
Isn't that
Worth.
Great? Yeah, but Port of Call in New Orleans, I'm almost positive I've been in there. Most of the time you're in New Orleans, you don't remember where you've been anyway. But some of these names were great. The Nowhere Bar in Athens, Don's Depot, the Virginian in Charlottesville, the World Famous in Athens, the Dixie Chicken in College Station. They got a great list here. Johnny's Hideaway in Atlanta. But proud of all the Alabama people that are on this list. So keep up the good stuff, and everybody get out and support them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a lot of fun. And it's interesting. I don't really think of AJ's as a dive, but Floribama. And, you know, Floribama has grown so much. I'm not sure if it's a dive either, but I get it. I mean, I get it. At the original building and all that, but it really is fun to see all these familiar places make the list.
Yeah. Brock, the Wharf Amphitheater in Orange Beach, it's up for the Academy of Country Music's Outdoor Venue of the Year. Oh. How great is that for them? And they're going up against Red Rocks, Ascend Amphitheater in Nashville, St. Augustine Amphitheater, which is a very cool place, and the Santa Barbara Bowl.
Oh,
I would love
Santa
to go see Barbara. A show at that place. But also down at the Wharf, I just saw, I think this morning actually, that Luke Bryan, he's opening up his cigar bar. He's bringing that over to the Wharf. So that's one
neat.
More thing to have down there. That'll do great.
Yeah, that's really cool. I was looking, you know, one of our threads that got sewn through several shows most recently was our fascination with the concept of combining peanut butter and jelly, which was Formula One and Las Vegas. And already, as we look forward to the second iteration of that coming up this November, the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas is offering passes to their hotel grid club, Tony.
Yes.
So this is the Wynn grid club for the Formula One race that's coming up. And for only $65,000 plus tax, you can get three nights at the Wynn or a suite at the Encore Tower, two tickets to the race, plus two passes to the grid club, which gives you access to the pit building, along with delicious cuisine, Tony.
I love delicious cuisine.
Premium beverages and five-star service. And all that can be yours for just $65,000.
Man, that's fantastic. How about this? Starkville, Mississippi was just named the number one best small town in the South by USA Today.
I'm proud of them.
It is. Man, good place. And this is all the towns on this list had less than 25,000 people.
Interesting.
Way to go, Stark Vegas.
Well, you know, you and I were talking before the show that it has been at least 30 years since I think either of us had been to Starkville. And it probably wouldn't have won that award 30 years ago. But I do have to say, there are a lot of families who I know here locally whose children have decided to go to Mississippi State. So I know more and more people are
going
there.
Out of here now.
Yeah,
so
honestly.
That's interesting.
And now it makes sense.
Yeah, one more quick story, and we're going back to the hotline. But Pop-Tarts, one of my favorites, they are coming to the snack aisle with a treat called Crunchy Poppers.
Crunchy Poppers.
Yeah, so I'm fired up to look for that. They're going to come out to begin with frosted strawberry and frosted brownie are the first flavors out on the shelves. So be looking for that. It's got a crisp, crunchy shell.
You know, I happened to look it up, and Target's already selling them, and you can get 10 of them in a box for $5.99 at your local Target.
I'm going.
The Crunchy Poppers.
Gonna get it. All right, let's go to the hotline and talk with Ashley. Ashley Kaplan, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Ashley Kaplan. She's the Executive Director of Leadership Alabama, and we're thrilled to have you on with us. And I was with some folks last night that were talking you up. Their daughter was in a youth leadership thing that they said you were involved in and supported, so that's great. And but just tell us all about what Leadership Alabama does.
Yeah, so that was probably we do have a young professional class, but Leadership Alabama – we are in our 33rd class, so we are a statewide nonprofit, and we have two programs a year, classes of young professionals and then a class of executive leaders, and they go through a year-long program. We visit all areas of the state, and so our main goal is to expose our members of things that are happening around the state, but also establish networks and connections among the classes, and then they take things that they see around the state back to their communities, back to their areas, their professions, and sort of influence change.
Yeah, so, sort of a lab through which synergy is built, right? I mean, you've got all these leaders, and they're sharpening each other. You know, as they say, iron sharpens iron, and you're sort of creating that environment where that can occur on an executive level, right?
Well, and I was going to say, too, just from the networking standpoint, I mean, it is everybody from across the state kind of gets to meet each other, and then they use those relationships to keep, you know, doing great stuff wherever
sure.
they are.
Yeah.
Correct. So usually the folks that participate are change agents in either their profession or their community. And so it is. Oftentimes people will say, I didn't even know this was happening in Alabama, or I didn't know these people were doing these things in Alabama. And so it is. It's just, like we say, in our mission is exposing members around just to things that can better the state.
Yeah, and then you said, did you say there's a, I guess, a young professionals component to it?
Right. So we back in the late 90s, Scotty McCallum was on our board.
Yeah.
So we need to really capture the folks that are, you know, 25 to 40, the emerging leaders. And so we started the Alabama Leadership Initiative. And then in 2017, our board said, you know what, this was a great program. It was just a one-time, two-day program. We need to have these leaders really involved that want to make a difference, that want to sort of become change agents. We need to capture them more. So in 2017, we expanded that program. And so it's a three-time, two-day session. They meet three times a year, and age 25 to 40, and so with young professionals. And so I assume that's who you might have been with last night. And it's a wonderful program. So it is in the sixth class right now.
Well, you mentioned Scotty McCallum. I mean, what a great example of,
sure.
talking about a change agent. He was the, you know, president at UAB. He was the mayor of Vestavia, did a lot. Chip McCallum's dad. So,
yeah.
Great family. But, you know, I just think it's a wonderful idea to get these folks together and, you know, that are already invested and have a track record of things that they have done and accomplished. And then, kind of get them together, see, you know, get ideas from each other and go back. Cause, you know, every little pocket of the state, it's important that we have good projects going on. We were talking about outside of Alabama, the Bend up in Chattanooga, but
sure.
you know, some of these giant real estate projects that are going on now with Caraway Hospital and the thing by
sure.
St.
Right.
Vincent's.
Yeah.
You know, these don't just happen. I think it takes
sure.
people's ideas and collaborations to make them happen, and this is just a fantastic foundation for it.
Yes. So we, in fact, when you mentioned the Caraway, so we. In talking about Scotty McCallum, we have a board of directors, 40 board members that support our organization. And so when we meet, you talk about these ideas and what is happening. And Leadership Alabama has always had the position that our organization and our programs are not going to, we don't advocate for any certain issue. We do not take sides. We stay very in the middle.
Sure.
But it's things that are better for each community. We want to promote, we want to share, and we want folks to be able to replicate things around the state. Our ALR class met in Dothan back in February, and I don't know if you all have been to Dothan lately, but they are undergoing a huge downtown revitalization.
Yes.
And things that they're doing in Dothan, the ALR class was looking, it's like, oh my gosh, I can easily take that back to my city. I could easily take that back to my organization.
Sure.
And so it really is trying to find things that you can replicate in each area. I think like Jones Valley Teaching Farm is a perfect example of that. People have no idea the work that they're doing downtown and in the schools, and able to take that back to certain areas too.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio. We are on the air with Ashley Kaplan, the director of Alabama Leadership, Inc., and it really is exciting. I mean, I love that idea that, you know, it's not just the big three, right? It's not just Birmingham and Huntsville and Mobile that are out there leading the charge and keeping it self-contained, but that this group goes down to Dothan, which is another, to your point, really exciting area
of
growth and development, and that provides some incentive and some spark for the rest of the state and leaders in those areas.
That's right. We we actually hit Leadership Alabama. The class does visit the four big cities. So we start in Montgomery about the history of the state. We go to Mobile, see a lot of workforce with Port and Airbus and Austell there. We go up to Huntsville and we visit Redstone Arsenal, Hudson Alpha, And then we end in Birmingham, where we see the work of UAB, Southern Research, and all that. So I think it's really exposing people around. But then we do try to visit the rural areas, and we are able to do that with the ALI class.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure our friend Paul DeMarco has been through the program.
Yes.
And, super good guy there. But, you know, it is a very interesting mix of people. Now, y'all just kind of announced a class not too long ago. Isn't that correct?
No, so we actually are in the process right now. So Both classes work a little differently with how we select the classes. So Leadership Alabama works on a nomination process. So the nominations open mid-January. They close the end of February. And then we have 10 regions around the state. And we have regional councils that sort of serve as the liaison between the community and then our organization. And we just came off the road this week meeting with regional councils. So we go to each region, meet with the regional councils. They review the nominations that come through their area and sort of prioritize. We have each class, there's not a magic number of how many people are in a class. It kind of works differently each year. But we've received about 185 nominations for the upcoming class. And so the process is very selective, but it works each year to create classes of diverse members, not just diversity with, you know, race and gender, but age, profession, city.
Yeah,
and so the region sort of prioritized folks, and then we come back and we really shape the whole class. And then in May, our board of directors will approve the final roster, we'll send out invitations, and then we announce it in July for the upcoming year that we start in October.
Okay.
That's a long process.
ALI class, the young professional class, the nominations open in May, and we notify those who've been nominated, and the young professionals actually apply. So there's a four-page application, talks a lot about professional achievement and civic and community achievement. We have a group of ALI members that select those, and that number is about 55 per class. We let them know in September, and then that program starts in November.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And you have been, you're not brand new to it, but you're fairly newer in the role of executive director, but you've been with the organization for a while, correct?
Right. So I started at Leadership Alabama in 2007, so about 16 and a half years ago. And then I've had the fortunate chance to work with two executive directors. And then in July this past year, so almost a year, we shifted around. And so I became the director in July 1 of 23. And I started Leadership Alabama when we were in class 18. And so we are now in class 33. So it's been wonderful. I tell people all the time that I have the best job ever because I get to meet and work with so many wonderful people around the state.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, by its very definition, right? I mean, over a decade literally being intimate with some of the greatest leaders in the state.
Yeah, and I mean, you're really doing a great job. We're about to have to run. Tell everybody, like, the website and how they can find out more about the program.
Right, so our website is leadershipal.org, and when you go to our homepage under programs, you'll see both Leadership Alabama and the Alabama Leadership Initiative. Like I said, Leadership Alabama nominations are closed for this year, but they'll open next January. But the ALI nominations will open in mid-May. And so watch for that on our website. We have a pretty active LinkedIn page that you can also check out news. But anytime you can find my information, our team. So we have Lydia Barnett is on our team. She does membership engagement in ALI. And then Kate Cotton does our operations and development. So all of our contact information is online.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Again, thanks so much for getting up early and being on with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and everybody keep Leadership Alabama in mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. You too.
Yeah, that's Bye. Ashley Kaplan, who's been with them for 16 years, but now the executive director.
Really well thought of, for sure.
LeadershipAL.org if you're interested in finding out some more information. But what a great program, really on both levels, right?
Yeah.
The young leadership and then the more, I guess, grizzled leadership. But either way, just what they're developing and the synergy and how that's benefiting this entire state.
Yeah, Brock Tin Top is one of my favorite restaurants in the state.
Yeah.
They're opening a new place. I don't think it's open yet, but down in Bon Secours in Baldwin County, going to be awesome down there. Love what they've done, but they're looking to hire, you know, new staff and all that. So if you're in that area and need a job, they'd be a good one to work with. You can get in touch with them. 10topbonsecours@gmail.com. But check them out. That's going to be, I can't wait for, to get down there and try that place.
I just like the name Bon Secours.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it?
There's a dog named Mishka, right?
Ooh.
Mishka wandered off from its owner's workplace in San Diego last July.
Where did it show up?
Well, Mishka, who wandered off from his owner's workplace in San Diego last July, just recently showed up in Detroit.
Nice.
Nearly 2,000 yeah. miles away. And the reason that they
wanted
know it's Mishka
trip.
Is this is one of the reasons you have your pets chipped, right? There was a location chip inside. Mishka was called into the Humane Society or to the police department, actually, as a stray. The police picked up Mishka, saw that it had the little green spot, that there was a chip inside. And lo and behold, Mishka belongs to an owner way back in
San Diego.
Diego.
One of my favorites. Hey, Brock, the Nashville Predators, or actually, I guess, Bridgestone Arena is doing a cool new thing. They got 84 seats in this kind of, you know, high-end
like club area,
that they are creating in Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
And you can get one of those 84 seats for $50,000.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, so it's going to open in October for the Predator season, but
right.
you would get access to all the events at Bridgestone, so concerts
yeah.
and all that. I believe that's true.
Yeah.
You had VIP parking, but $50,000 yeah, for a seat.
That's a lot.
I guess people have it.
One of the things that's kind of cool about it is, you know, a lot of those club areas and things like that, they're sort of sterile, and the seating
yeah.
isn't really very intimate, but this
is
going to be seating into the lower level.
Yeah, it's called the studio,
yeah.
and they actually have other areas in Bridgestone that you can be a member of. This is the latest, greatest thing,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Very cool.
And by the way, we started out earlier in the Pred season around October. You and I went and watched them,
yeah.
unfortunately, get slaughtered by the Edmonton Oilers.
It was pretty ugly.
But they righted the ship, and in fact, just this week, did they clinch a wild card playoff spot. They're in the playoffs
yeah.
of the NHL.
Hey, real quick, too, the landing at Parker Creek and the landing at Harbor
cool
Point,
places.
They're hiring for both back of house and front of house staff down on Lake Martin, so that would be a lot of fun to do for the season, too. So get in touch with them and have a good summer down there.
When we went up to Nashville, in fact, two different times we've done it, we have come across your niece, Maggie, and
yeah.
she's got some news, for heaven's sake.
Well, she got to do, she works with Cahaba Wealth Management, which
yeah.
is interesting. Our neighbor growing up was Brian O'Neill. He's one of the main folks in that organization.
Oh,
and,
okay.
But Maggie, as things worked out, ended up getting a job with them, and they have offices, I think, here in Atlanta and Nashville, but if I believe that's right. But she works in the Nashville office, but they got to give a presentation to...
Yeah, absolutely. It was to the CMA Women's Leadership Academy alumni event. That's
yeah.
pretty cool, the
yeah,
CMA group.
Man, yeah. we're proud of her for sure. Brock, one more thing that's interesting. Popeyes. I like some good Popeyes chicken, but they got a new spot open in Huntsville. But that's not all that they're up to. They got a new one. They're opening their first one in Italy.
Italy?
Yeah, and it reminded me of we sent our son Zach over on a trip to Spain.
Yeah.
And Joanne, I was like, why are we sending him to Spain? And he was on the trip. Well, he's being immersed in all this culture. And I was like, well, where is he right now? So she's looking on the little tracker device. Well, he's outside the Five Guys and the Popeyes. And it's like, man, he's getting a lot of culture
yeah,
right now.
A lot of culture. Yeah, absolutely. I thought this was interesting. There's a group called Riaz Capital, and they just transformed a hotel. It was called the Z Hotel. It was a cool little place in Jack London Square in Oakland, California. They transferred it from a 102-room hotel, Tony, 102 units, into a 130-unit apartment building. And they were able to do it through California's density bonus law, which allows developers to actually increase unit numbers as long as a portion of the building is dedicated to affordably priced housing. So 128 of the 130 units are, ready for this, micro studios.
Nice.
They're 255 to 464 square feet, kind of like a hotel room, obviously.
The Italian Festival.
Oh,
how about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming to June 15th to Sloss Furnaces. That's going to be... a lot of fun, so I'm really looking forward to that. I got the feeling we will be there, so
yeah.
Bring it on out for that.
Well, I'm hearing our regular music right now, so who are you?
Yeah, I'm Tony Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding. Man, we'd love to work with you. Your home and auto insurance, your business coverages, GL, work comp, all that stuff, and any of your surety bond needs, bid bid payment and performance bonds. We do those all the time, so bring them on.
I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business. If you have a construction-related bend, love to help you out with that, too. Tony, did you know?
Did you know over 42 million women live in Germany?
Oh, I did not know that. Did you know the first two seasons of the Flintstones was sponsored by Winston Cigarettes?
Did you know the Hittites manufactured advanced iron goods, ruled over their kingdom through government officials with independent authority over various branches of government, and worshipped storm gods?
Well, I didn't know that. Did you know the 90-second pilot for the Flintstones was filmed in 59? It never aired. It was like the holy grail of animation until the Cartoon Network found it in 94 and played it on their network.
Did you know it takes the average hiker 5 to 7 months to complete the Appalachian Trail?
Did not know that. Did you know after a massive car accident, Mel Blanc, who was the one who voiced Barney Rubble, had to spend nearly 2 months voicing him from a hospital bed?
Weird, man. Well, let's start wrapping things up.
Yeah.
Everybody join us back here next week for Truett News Radio. We appreciate you being part of the show this week.
Yeah, and check us out on social media. Let us know if there's somebody who you're thinking of would be a good guest, or if there's a topic you'd like for us to cover, or just reach out to say hello. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. We are out there, right?
Absolutely, man. It's, what else we got?
Well, I mean, this is just an impossibly long ending with a bunch of music, for heaven's sake. It's never been this long. Suddenly 2 minutes has extended into 5 minutes.
Yeah,
for
buy
all
some insurance
know.
While we're waiting.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know,
fact.
True insurance and bonding. How about
yeah,
that?
Right. I mean, the Flintstones, they were on primetime for 6 different seasons. A lot of people don't know that. Alabama, we'll see.